The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that saw Private Benjamin and said, let's get rid of all this girl stuff. Let's put some dudes in there.
The movie where Bill Murray and Harold Ramis commit high treason and several acts of war, but at the end, still the heroes.
The movie that taught America the best thing about being a soldier, getting laid.
This is Stripes on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
We are solo today due to illness. It is cold and flu season, you may notice in my voice.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a little bit of a chore for Eric to make it.
Yeah, I'm gonna struggle through. Emma, unfortunately, worse off, could not make it.
Yeah, too sick to come.
Despite her immense love of Bill Murray.
It was a shame. It's a shame. It's a real shame. But in her faults, we thrive because we got to enjoy Bill Murray.
That's true.
Awesome, smart alecky guy.
What? Yeah, who's just irresistible to women.
Since when?
Yeah, it's such a unique thing for him to play.
Yeah, really out of character for him.
Really out of character.
So we are at Stripes, 1981. This movie brings in $85,297,000.
Yeah, huge hit.
For the beginning of the fucking 80s.
Especially the beginning of the 80s, like you said. And we talked about a little bit at the Police Academy episode, if you go back and listen to that. But goddamn, did Police Academy rip this movie off.
Oh, yeah. We also incorrectly said that we were not going to talk about Stripes.
Yeah, we're doing that right now.
Thank God that we were wrong about that. Yeah. And I feel like in this movie, kind of makes all of them, right? Makes John Candy, Harold Ramis, and Bill Murray bigger
names. To some
names.
Extent, yeah.
Bill Murray already big.
Definitely Caddyshack. This pushed him even bigger, though.
Obviously, SNL, he was the biggest fucking thing in SNL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this gives him like the first kind of like that role that he then continues to play for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much through the 80s and even into the early 90s, he kind of plays this, a similar-ish character to this.
Yeah.
Kind of a dick, kind of a loser, but just charming and funny.
And then one day he woke up old and Wes Anderson was like, get over here.
Yeah, get over here. I got a lane for you. Yeah. Get in this lane.
Yeah,
get in there. I got a whole new fucking thing for you to do.
Yeah, for the next 40 years.
Yep. Luckily, he's really good at both.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Thank God for that. It wasn't like Michael Bay came on knocking.
Yeah.
And he just does Michael Bay movies for the fucking...
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Like some he's other...
just fucking voicing Transformers or...
Mm-hmm. John Turturro, he's just like a fucking bumbling idiot.
Exactly, he'd be the John Turturro character.
Ah, what a waste.
Just be like, oh, Optimus, it doesn't matter.
As crazy and stupid as Shia LaBeouf is, I do feel like taking the Transformers role, the beginning of the downfall for him.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I mean, maybe Crystal Skull, but that was just all around.
Yeah, that's not really, I mean, I don't blame him for that in terms of...
Oh, no, I would too.
They came to you and were like, hey, do you want to be fucking Indiana Jones' son in the next movie? You'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Spielberg's
doing obviously it, I do.
Yeah, but Transformers, the beginning of the end for him.
Yeah.
It's not the end yet, I guess, but come on, we all know.
Yeah.
We all know what's going on with Shia LaBeouf.
Sure.
He's a dead man walking.
Drugs.
So anyway.
Actually, yeah, I'm pretty sure the devil came to collect his soul 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just an empty husk of a shell.
Yeah. He's gone the way of all the other kind of like a crazy drug-addled. I mean, you get some comebacks from that.
Sure.
RDJ, obviously, Robert Downey Jr., he came back from that. Came back from that heart. He was passed out like in a front yard naked at one point. The people were talking about because he was insane.
If you're talented enough and you're, I guess you work hard enough.
And you have a good agent.
You have a really good agent.
Yeah. You could make it. You could come back. You just got to come back. Yeah. Also, don't be weird and don't fuck people over like Shia LaBeouf has done several times.
Yeah.
So maybe not do that. But anyway.
It helps if you're really funny, too, because if you're really funny, then you can just do jokes about the times that you were naked asleep in someone's front yard. And people are like, ah, that's fucking funny, that guy.
He's so charismatic, that guy. Same thing with
Pryor. Pryor, like, lit himself on fire and was able to do a whole fucking hour about it.
4 miles. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so everybody loved him, you know? He was smoking crack, right? Smoking crack. Yeah, smoking crazy. Crack.
It's crazy. Fucking insane thing.
Come back from smoking crack, from getting lit on, lighting yourself on fire by smoking crack. He came back hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best comedy specials.
Like, no, there. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how you do it. That's how you do it, son.
So this movie.
Ultimately, it ripped off a million times over, this movie.
Sure. And it does, as we sort of hinted at the beginning.
It does borrow.
It does borrow. Especially from Private Benjamin, particularly. And that wasn't the first time they had, like, the kind of...
Yeah, like the ragtag kind of, like,
the ragtag misfits. Group, the misfits group.
I mean, like Animal House had already done that.
Well, and even just, like, the idea of joining the military, I feel like, had been done before.
Oh, yeah.
Even, with, like, if you go back to, like, what, Gomer Pyle and shit like that.
That's true. Or, right? Like, Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, Hogan's Heroes.
Very much Hogan, like Hogan's
Very
Heroes.
Much Hogan's Heroes, yeah. Or even, what was that, the comic strip that used to run...
Oh,
like George and Bailey or some
shit? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, I mean, the buffoons in the military type of deal.
Yeah, you can't go been around
for
that.
A long time. Yeah. So it was just a matter of time before somebody came up with this fucking great, delicious, like, syrup of perfectness.
Yeah.
Which is this movie.
Almost wasn't, at least according to our very unverified research that we did while watching the movie.
Yeah, we just
we don't
asked,
plan ahead.
We asked Siri a bunch of questions. Yeah.
Some interesting things came up. Bill Murray signed on to do this movie 2 weeks before they started shooting.
And then showed up 3 days late.
Showed up 3 days late because he was watching Cubs games.
Which, if you know anything about Bill Murray...
He was watching Cubs
games. He fucking loves the Cubs.
He loves drinking, partying, and the Cubs, and singing.
Did you ever see that interview when they talked to him about maybe the Cubs like winning the pennant or winning the World Series?
Yeah.
And he cried. He genuinely cried when he's talking about, oh, my whole life I've been waiting.
Yeah.
My whole life I've been waiting for the Cubs to get here. And he's like, he wept.
He is a seriously passionate fan. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Which, I mean, I don't know how you're a passionate fan of baseball, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess you grew up there, so.
Yeah. Hey, did we not watch Field of Dreams? Come on.
Yeah, we did watch Field of Dreams.
We definitely did watch Field of Dreams. And listen to that episode if you haven't. It's great.
Yeah. I was actually just watching the Comedians in Cars with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah?
And they talk about Field of Dreams real quick. And they're talking about, like, how they both, like, cried at the end of it. And I remember when we were watching it, and I was like, this is ridiculous. I get it. I get that feeling. But the whole movie is such a weird concept.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a definite emotional resonance with the idea of, like...
Play catch with your dad?
Playing catch with your dad. And, like, having... baseball be a connecting tissue.
Yeah, there, like, you go. Actually, baseball too. Yeah,
just in terms of, like, it gives you something you can talk to your father about. That's not like that. You can kind of almost be on equal terms to some extent.
Yeah,
where it's like we're both fans of a thing, and we can just be like, oh, that was a really great play, and like, did you see that thing where, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and baseball and football are sports that you can connect that way. You can throw the ball back and forth.
Right.
You can't do that with a basketball.
I mean, you can. Yeah, you can shoot. You can shoot around.
You shoot hoops, but you can't. You don't pass it to each other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if all you did was pass the basketball.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, can I shoot now? Can I put it in the...
Yeah.
The whole point is to put it in the basket.
I feel like the only way you do that is you're great Santini-ing it and just like 1, 2, 3 cry and hitting a kid in the face with the fucking... in the back of the head with the basketball. But in, like, soccer, you can't do that. So, you know, you can't just kick the ball back and forth. That's stupid.
I mean, you can, but again, very boring.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, baseball, football are two of the sports that you can just toss that shit back and forth.
Yeah.
And that's a thing, right? That's a thing that parents to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a father that loved you, you would know.
Yeah, I would know that. That was a lot of catching beer bottles on my side.
With your head.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't have mouthed off. I
mean, it really was your fault.
Yeah, that's what I learned. I mean,
many scars across your cheek and neck area.
Yeah, I was a mouthy 8-year-old.
Yeah,
and I deserved it.
Yeah, well, you know,
over reminisced, and my pain water came out my eyes. Anyway, back to this movie. This is a fucking great movie, mostly because of how awesome the casting was.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was talking about. So. Harold Ramis also almost wasn't in it. Bill Murray insisted because they were boys.
Yeah, they were friends. They've been friends for a long time. Yeah. And obviously, you know, then they go on to do Ghostbusters and stuff because they're friends. Sure. Yeah.
And this is an Ivan Reitman film. So, I mean, it's all connected from that same, like, late 70s, early 80s, SCTV, SNL.
Yeah.
Like, that whole comedy world where everyone was kind of intermingled. Dave Thomas, who's another, you know, big Second City guy who was partners with John Candy for a while.
Yeah, he's got a cool little, like,
he's got a cool little cameo
in it. Yeah. Yeah. You remember, people know Dave Thomas. If you see his face.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely know him. Yeah.
Strange Brew, right?
Yeah, Strange Brew was his. Him and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
But yeah, really funny guy, really talented writer, wrote a lot of really funny stuff. This also originally started as a Cheech and Chong vehicle.
Crazy.
Yeah.
This was Stripes was supposed to be, which when I think about it, pretty fucking funny.
I mean, that could totally work.
Cheech and Chong going to the army? That's ridiculous. Yeah. Who's ever heard of such a thing? Just it fucking two stoners. Just two
stoners.
Being in the army, having to do a lot of that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, smoke a lot of weed. And,
yeah.
And then they still.
It's a lot of sneaking around. Instead of sneaking around to get laid, it'd be sneaking around to smoke, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Smoke. I mean, they always got laid, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They did a lot of harassing of ladies,
too. Well, of course.
Yeah, they would always push themselves really hard.
Yeah.
Like an unacceptable. Now, unacceptable.
Right. No.
Yeah. Cheech, you're not supposed to just grab random chicks by the boobs anymore. No,
you can grab them by the pussy. They don't stop you.
No, it doesn't keep you from being president. That's for sure. Also, this movie has boobs like right away.
Oh, almost. Right away. Yeah.
So it would start off with Bill Murray being a fucking cab driver and hating being a cab driver. I don't know. He's just kind of hating it. And this old lady comes in and she's like, I need a ride to the airport. And he does a really cool thing where he gets fucking tired of her. So he stops in the middle of the bridge. Gets out of the cab, and I thought he was going to kick her the fuck out.
Yeah, I thought he was going to grab the luggage and throw that off the side.
Yeah, but in a very kind of poetic way, he just walks up to the edge and throws the keys to the cab out.
Just like, I quit my job today.
Yeah, he Muhammad Ali's that shit, because that's the whole, Muhammad Ali threw his Olympic medal when he had the whole thing where he had to change his name and they took his fucking medals. He threw the medal off a bridge. Which is very, like, a poetic type of deal. That's sure. exactly what he did, but with the cab keys.
Yeah, less poetic here.
Because it's so just, funny.
Yeah. Because it's just him being like, fuck this job.
Because a minute earlier, he was like, ah, my balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then he's walking home with a pizza and a dress for his girlfriend.
Yep.
That he picked up from the dry cleaner.
His car gets took by the, like, repo man.
Repo guys take his car. It's that... You can see it. You see it in a million fucking movies after or before this too. Even like it's just a domino effect. Like it's always that. It's always your job, your car, and your girlfriend.
Yep.
He shows up. Bam. Girlfriend's tits out.
Tits out.
Thank you, 80s. Thank you, 1981 R-rated comedy. Back when like the audience for fucking movies was like 26. Those were the people going to see movies. It wasn't 14-year-old girls like it is now.
Yeah.
So yeah, right away, boobs out. And then she's totally like, hey, this is a third job or something like that, right? No, you only been at that job for like 6 months or something. Yeah.
And then goes on about his whole day schedule. He basically just fucks around. Like if this was 10 years later, it would be video games. But in his case, it's listening to records, watching movies.
Till dawn.
And then sleeping till noon and like working for 3 hours and then just eating pizza or whatever.
Which is like my life.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. That's what I listen to records all the time. And then I stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm also not Bill Murray, so.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get away with that.
Yeah, for shame. I mean.
No. So she leaves, even though he's being just super charming. I don't know.
Making a lot of cool jokes.
It's very hard to walk out on Bill Murray.
There's a line where she's like, you are not cute anymore. And I was like, bullshit. Bullshit. He is being so fucking cute. Like, I want to fuck him. He's so fucking cute. But
it's a weird thing that Bill Murray was kind of a sex symbol.
Yeah, right?
Like, again, how does that happen?
That's different. It's different back in the fucking early 80s. This is like pre-Tom Cruise, Top Gun, and pre-all that shit. So it makes sense.
It was all in that charm. And I guess, I mean, from all reports I've read, Sandler was a little like that. Like, he actually crushed pretty legit for a long time.
Just being charming and funny.
Yeah.
goes a long way. Goes
yeah.
a long way.
Yeah.
I feel like in my life, one of my biggest problems, all across, like from when I was a kid to
is not being charming now, and funny,
is not being Bill Murray.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
That's really problem all of number our one.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if I could have fixed that early on.
If I could ask God one question, why am I not Bill Murray? Like, what was that about?
Yeah. What the fuck, dude? Why wasn't I Bill Murray?
Yeah, you couldn't have made me Bill Murray?
Like, that is a great question to ask God, actually. It's like you go up to heaven, you get one question, and it could be anything. And you're like, why was I not Bill Murray? And his answer would just be like, because there was already a Bill Murray. And you're like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'll be damned. Yeah. All right.
You got next. Me there, God. You're smart. I thought I had one for you. Because you thought ahead on that one.
I guess I should have asked for a wish.
God.
Yeah. You really got me on that, God. You're smarter than I thought you would be. More clever. Yeah. Yeah, that's my problem. Not Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Is my number one problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when I think, like, I'm going to go to therapy. And like AA and shit like that, and it's gonna be that first thing.
Yeah,
I was not Bill Murray. I was not born Bill Murray. So like,
what made you start drinking? Well, I wasn't Bill Murray, so
everybody's like, oh yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's not Bill Murray. No, he's not Bill Murray. Yeah. But Bill Murray is Bill Murray.
Yes, he is.
So clearly,
there's so many funny bits that I mean, obviously, if you haven't seen this movie, you should definitely see this movie. It's really great. But so there's a whole bit where he's playing basketball and shit, but basically the end result is him and Harold Ramis, who we get introduced. Harold Ramis is teaching like an English, like beginners English class.
Yeah. Yeah. To like adults.
Yeah.
Like to immigrants. Adults. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
He does not have patience for that shit. He does not.
Well, he teaches them like fucking like 50s rock songs. Yeah. Is what he's teaching them. Yeah.
Yeah. He just teaches them to like backup sing to his song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great. And sort of goes with the theme of them later using
Do-a-diddy
and all that shit, yeah.
And he's kind of clearly like a pushover. Like, he really does
exactly. Yeah. Like, there's no reason. Like, Bill Murray is the one that's like, I have nothing left in my life. I might as well join the army.
Harold Ramis is just like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Like,
Harold Ramis has a job. Yeah. He has, I guess he doesn't have a girlfriend or whatever, but... Yeah. Like, yeah, he drives Bill Murray to the recruiting office, and Bill Murray's like, well, you're coming though, right? And then he just comes.
Yeah,
he's just like, all right, yes, all right.
And he makes him sign up with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the entire time they're in the recruiting office, they're just making jokes. Like,
yeah. They're wisecracking the whole time. And it's really funny.
It is really funny. But I do wonder, like, that recruiting officer, all right, pushing through it.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I make money on every fucking person I recruit.
I got to make my quotas or whatever.
So whatever.
I don't know if they have quotas, but.
I have heard a lot of you. Well, you had a thing about that too, right? A story about that where
they'll lie. Yeah.
Yeah, recruiting officers lie to your fucking
they'll
face.
Because
once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
So that people tell me that shit all the time. They're like, oh, well, they said because we're married, if we both join, we're gonna get to stick together. And the first thing they do is split you up.
Yeah.
Or again, it was the weed, right?
The weed,
you can smoke weed.
They're like, oh no, it's cool. It's totally cool.
It's totally cool.
Like,
to smoke weed.
Totally not. It's not cool.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
They're not gonna just let you smoke weed. They're in fucking basic training.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, they'll just lie straight to your face.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't even need to lie to Bill Murray. He was already on board.
Yeah.
He did try to do some push-ups.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get in shape before I turn 30. He was already 30 while I was shooting, but he was playing like 29 or something.
Something like that, 28, 29. Yeah. So it's not that big of a stretch.
No, not at all. But they join up. And then they do some more wisecracking.
Yeah, I mean that's basically every scene. Every scene you can just add, and then they do some wisecracking.
Yeah, exactly. Because then they go to the bus stop where they're gonna get
picked
up.
They wisecrack, and that's when you first meet the girls.
Yeah. PJ Souls and Sean Young. Yeah, both of them cute. We did agree, Sean Young cuter.
Yeah, I mean we do this. I'm sorry.
This is just part of
being guys watching a movie.
Exactly. I mean, take it up with Emma for not being here.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we still would have done
we still
would have.
But we get introduced to them, and they're kind of like Bill Murray starts charming PJ Souls a little bit. And then the cool thing about Harold Ramis is he's kind of like a very like unassuming, bumbly guy.
Sure.
But he still crushes, man. Like, Sean Young clearly likes him right away.
Yeah, he's still a charming guy. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, and I feel like that's also a very realistic thing. When you look at guys that are like super debonair and like charming – and they have like kind of the nerdy friends. Nerdy friend always usually gets the hottest chick. Mm-hmm. At least the settled down one. Like, at least the marry the hottest chick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not the party girls.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Ringo Starr, that's why Ringo Starr has the hottest wife.
Does he?
Or had the hottest wife back in the 60s. I don't know. Yeah. But I don't know about now. I don't know who he's married to now. But he clearly had the hottest wife back then.
Yeah, good for Ringo.
Yeah. He's fucking dopey looking.
At least he had one thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had an octopus song.
He's like, all right, fine. You guys wrote all the best songs, and I'm not that great of a drummer, but...
I showed up late. I don't really know you guys that much.
Exactly. I was the last one to join.
Yeah. Yeah, but here we are. Yeah. This is my super hot fucking wife.
How are things going with Yoko?
Yeah.
Face, yeah, John Lennon. Yeah. Face.
In your face. No amount of crazy... like fucking hyper artistic thinking is gonna, you know, it's gonna change the fact that Yoko looks like a fucking dude. Like, there's no way. That's why.
No, yeah,
true love. That's why true love.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because marry your soulmate. Don't worry about looks.
Exactly. Clearly, John Lennon didn't care.
No, no.
She was not an attractive woman.
No.
Yeah, it's bad.
Anyway, so yeah, then they get on the bus, and that's also where you meet some of the rest of the crew. You meet Judge Reinhold.
Good old Judge, yeah.
His
name is Judge.
Yeah, his name is indeed Judge.
Yeah.
I don't know, is he a judge? Why is he not always a judge? I
mean, yeah, he should always be a judge.
Always a judge.
He's the judge of life.
When you get to heaven, again, you get to heaven.
Yeah.
Fucking Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
Scale in hand.
What's your... You can ask me anything. Why was Judge Reinhold's name Judge? And it's just like a quick story. Like, his mom was reading a book, and she saw another guy named Judge, and she was like, that'd be a good name. And that's it. And I'm like, oh,
cool.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, all right. So that was it.
One question squandered.
Sorry. I got to send you to hell now. That's the rules.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Stupid questions equal hell. What did you ask God? Meaning alive? You? Meaning alive? Meaning alive? You? What was Judge Reinhold's name? Judge.
Clearly, my question would be like, why aren't the Hobbit movies as good as Lord of the Rings movies? Yeah. What happened to Peter Jackson? Why is he using all the CGI now? What happened to the practical effects?
He's like, well, there was a lot of like studio interference.
Yeah. And he didn't have as much time to pre-pro. Yeah, and, like,
a lot of pressure to make three movies instead. And,
instead of just doing like one or two. And you're like, oh, okay.
You're like, I knew that already. Okay.
Yeah. But, I guess I kind of knew all those.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, thanks, God, for the right one question answered. Squander away your God question.
Other people are sitting there like fucking Buddhas, just enlightened. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
At least I know about the Hobbit now.
Yeah, that made sense what you said. Yeah. It really made sense.
you also meet one John Candy.
Oh, yes. John Candy.
One of our absolute favorites. We talked about him a lot in Splash.
This is one of his breakout roles. This is before Splash. Which
before
I feel
Splash
is his bigger breakout role.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I think so.
This is definitely, he was already like SCTV.
Well, it was before the TV show started. He was doing like the Second City radio and the tours and everything.
Yeah,
the live shows. Yeah.
So, and then he's not famous enough to keep his hair in this, apparently.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, because they get their buzz cuts.
Yep.
And everybody gets a buzz cut except for Hal Ramis and Bill Murray.
And Judge Reinhold and that one weird, like, crazy guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't he get his?
Yeah.
So apparently, while they were shooting, they didn't tell them that they were going to get their actual hair cut in that scene. So that he would get real reactions. And he gets a real reaction especially from John Candy.
Yeah, Candy was...
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, we've mentioned it in other podcasts, but in the late 70s, early 80s, throughout the 80s, really.
Oh, yeah, throughout the 80s.
The worst thing as a guy is to have no hair.
To have short or no hair.
Yeah.
No, you want the biggest fucking
hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had actually really cool hair. Like, his hair was kind of like messy, but it was cool looking.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah.
And no, gone. And you could see in his face that he was like,
he's just like, how am I getting laid now?
Yeah. I'm not even that famous, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, not famous enough to keep his hair.
Yeah.
And also, it never gets explained.
Right. They don't. Yeah.
They don't get their hair cut buzzed off
because
everybody else got their head buzzed off. And
they just
come
get short haircuts.
And then they kind of make jokes about it. But they never explain why they wouldn't cut their hair.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they were...
They're stars.
They're the stars, yeah.
And they didn't want their stars to look hideously ugly.
Because, again, 1981,
yeah, yeah.
Hideously ugly buzz cut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, when did that... I guess, I mean, part of it is that our opinion towards the military and towards war changed once we got far enough away from Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, I feel like Michael Jordan happened.
Oh, yeah. Michael Jordan was it, man.
Yeah.
When he showed up and he was bald and the best at playing basketball
yeah.
ever.
And yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Especially for black dudes because...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back then...
Yeah, if I shave my head, at different connotations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're the opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But back then, black dudes would, if they were balding, they would keep the super like poofy hair around the back. And
sure,
you look
sure.
like Bozo the Clown.
Yeah, yeah.
And Michael Jordan showed up and he's like, nah, fuck that shit. Taking it all off.
Yeah.
And made it cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. Thank God for that because we looked like idiots. Back in the 80s, people looked like idiots.
Still couldn't sell the Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Not even Michael Jordan.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah. But it still freaks me out because
Michael Jordan tried really hard.
You're like the most famous athlete in the world. And you grew him a Hitler mustache.
And they put him in the commercial with a Hitler mustache. At no point. If you guys don't know what we're talking
about.
It's a Hanes commercial.
Yeah, it's a Hanes commercial.
And he showed up with a Hitler mustache, and nobody at any point did they tell him.
No one from Hanes was like, Michael.
You cannot have a Hitler mustache.
MJ, your airness.
You can't have a Hitler mustache.
We're trying to sell underwear to kids over here. What are you doing?
Everybody's like, no, he's Michael Jordan, though.
Yeah.
Like,
we just have to... He was in Space Jam.
And they let him. He did like 4 commercials
with a fucking Hitler mustache.
And it's not a thing people look down upon.
Also, Space Jam, Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
And a great true. Bill Murray performance.
Yeah, there's our 6 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. Yeah, really good Bill Murray performance.
Yeah, he's great in that movie.
He's definitely greater than the animated monsters in that.
Yeah, the Monstars? Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Bugs Bunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a walking tackle.
I mean, he's done a lot of fucked up shit. He's hurt a lot of lives. He's hurt a lot of people. He constantly tries to get Daffy Duck killed.
Yeah,
so,
all the time.
Like, that's not cool.
He doesn't give Bob Hoskins a fucking parachute when he needs it.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is bullshit.
Instead, he tries to play jokes. He could kill
the
man.
Yeah,
he almost killed Bob Hoskins.
You're killing Bob Hoskins with that fucking spare tire joke, you dick. Instead of saving a man's life, he just makes jokes. It's all jokes with this fucking guy.
All fucking jokes. Kind of like Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Attempt
true.
Number 2 to get back on topic.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
You thought so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, John Candy also in this movie is great.
Yes.
They improv a lot of their lines. They also did a lot of rewrites. Both Ivan Reitman and Ramis and Murray, I guess, rewrote a bunch of stuff and did a lot of improv on set. Candy as well.
I feel like Ramis doesn't get the credit as much as he should for being...
The fact that he's really fucking great and funny.
One of the best comedic writers and directors.
Yeah, for sure.
Ever. And he doesn't get... I mean, he does, but not as much as other people do.
As he should.
As he should, yeah, exactly.
He is one of those guys, like, especially I feel like when you're a kid and you watch like things like Ghostbusters, you're like
Egon.
Well, obviously, yeah, you think of him as Egon, but also through all those movies, like, because... Bill Murray is such a huge movie star.
Yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd throughout like the 80s and even the 90s, huge movie star. And so you're like, oh, those guys are the funny guys.
Harold Ramis is a nerdy guy.
Yeah. Harold Ramis is just some nerdy guy that was in the movie.
Yeah.
And like then you really realize like, oh, wait, no. Like Harold Ramis is fucking
he's
great. Like
writing and directing all of it. Like, everything everybody's saying. Yeah. Yeah. It is sad that his last movie was Year One.
Oh, that is.
Yeah.
That's God, why did Harold Ramis make Year One?
Why was that his last movie?
Why didn't you give him another year or two? You could have made a good movie. Come on, man.
He's like, well, the way it works with the heart attacks and the whatnot.
Like, everyone has their time, my child.
If it wasn't for his love of hoagies and all that stuff. Exactly. Yeah, maybe things would have worked out. But, you know, a certain amount of personality, it's just like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, halfway through you're like, cool, whatever. Yeah. Done.
Bye, God.
We go look at Angel's boobs.
Oh, which in heaven I feel like that would be a thing. Yeah.
I hope so. Jesus, why am I even going to heaven?
Yeah, because if not, I'll just limbo it up in here. I'd rather be like a tortured ghost that just wanders into fucking bathrooms and like
because at least changing rooms and boobs. Shit.
Because, yeah, exactly. You get to see boobs. Yeah, I'll be like in like ghost and ghost. He worked really hard to get into heaven when I feel like he had it here. I just got to not
hopefully
go to
heaven's better.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, that's the idea, right?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Bible is so anti-sex that I feel like maybe my heaven is not their heaven.
It's not really that anti-sex. It's just kind of anti-women having sex.
That's true. Yeah, anti-women enjoying sex.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Actually, that puts us in a good position.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe heaven will be good for us.
Yeah, I think so.
Bad for heaven. Bad for women. Good for guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Proverbs 13:25, I believe. Is that look it up. Look it up, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like heaven, bad for women, good for dudes.
And lo, Jesus said unto the apostles, bro, heaven's going to hook you up.
Yeah.
But not if you're a lady.
Bitches, though. No, nice.
Bitches be crazy. Even in heaven. Nah. And Jesus said, bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
So then the vast, I don't know if it's even the majority of this movie, but for the next at least 30 to 40 minutes, it's basic training time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all just Bill Murray mouthing off and being funny.
Yep.
And then getting punished for it.
Yep.
And getting the other dudes punished for it.
Yep.
At no point,
and not
though,
getting beaten.
I was gonna say,
yeah, not getting beaten with a sock filled with soap.
At
yeah.
no point did everybody get socks filled with soap and beat him up.
Again, too charming for that.
Yeah, yeah, no, nobody.
Yeah, D'Onofrio, not charming enough.
Yeah,
not charming even enough to pull that off.
We talk about Hacksaw Ridge. Even in that, he gets beat up because
look, the pussy wouldn't pick up a gun. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, everybody's got to beat him up. Everybody's yeah. got to kick his ass. Yeah, but no, he gets no beats. Also, all the other dudes there are kind of idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the lovable misfits. Idiots. They're the ragtag crew.
Yeah, except for Psycho, who's a psycho.
Who's a psycho, yeah. But yeah. even he, I mean, it's ragtag.
Yeah, he's
doesn't mean
he's a Hannibal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He is a serial killer in the making.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. he totally, he's like, my name is Francis, but you call me Psycho.
Yeah, or I will kill you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He's got a switchblade for some reason.
Yeah, well, because he's crazy.
Yeah, like, but you don't get to take a switchblade to the army with you.
You do if it's up your ass.
Ah, that's true. Although, was that
prison rules?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You suitcase it.
Yeah, exactly.
You put it in your prison wallet.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Which is one of the best things I've ever heard.
Prison
call
wallet?
Your anus.
Yeah,
your prison wallet. This is shit. Just stuff goes in there, like your
yeah,
money,
you know,
your IDs,
cigarettes,
yeah, anything you don't want, anything you want to keep safe.
Yeah,
goes
yeah.
in your prison wallet.
Yeah, of course.
That's brutal. That's
yeah, not, and then yeah, Judge Reinhold's like the stoner guy. That's like he's takes a few of the Cheech and Chong jokes that were left over.
Yeah, not enough though.
Not nearly enough. There could have been a lot more Judge Reinhold.
I
stoner
was really
humor.
Expecting yeah. a lot more because I don't remember. I remember this movie watching it on TV, but not. I don't remember all of it because it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Sure,
but I was really like, oh yeah, Judge Reinhold. I forgot he's in this first of all, and he's a stoner guy.
I feel like there are some cut scenes there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because he's never smoking weed ever in this. He's
no.
just he just talks about it in the beginning. And then he acts like he's stoned.
Yeah.
But he's never...
It does stoned. Feel like there could have been a whole... Maybe if instead of Judge Reinhold, that was... Who would have been right around this age? If that was like Dan Aykroyd or maybe someone slightly less famous, like another just SNL person.
Yeah.
I feel like that role, a little beefier, a little more like...
Yeah, yeah.
A little more jokes that coming that way.
Yeah, and he's just Judge Reinhold wasn't that big at that time.
No.
Yeah. I mean, if Eddie Murphy is that character,
well, yeah,
yeah,
clearly, yeah. No, if Eddie's that character,
I mean, the movie would have
been
about
yeah.
fucking Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah. probably.
Yeah, it was that Will Smith Suicide Squad thing? If Eddie Murphy would have just joined up, then the movie changes and it's a lot.
Yeah, although not in 81, in 85,
yeah, 85, yeah,
86, but yeah, not in 81.
Because when did Eddie Murphy join up SNL?
Like 81, 82, something like that.
So
it's
a little bit after that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
maybe
blow up for another like year or two. Yeah. Saves SNL.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Judge Reinhold a little bit wasted in this.
Yeah, for sure. So it's a lot of them failing at basic military stuff, but doing so with aplomb and just, again, Bill Murray doing jokes.
And trying to get laid.
And trying to get laid. And then eventually successfully getting laid.
Yeah. Those two girls that that we got introduced to earlier,
PJ and Sean Young.
Yeah,
two not very typical girl names.
Hey, actually, PJ and Sean. PJ and Sean.
Yeah,
that's very accurate. Actually,
yeah, yeah,
those are not girl names. It's a very manly fucking name for girls.
Yeah, yeah.
They catch him all because Bill Murray is going to leave. He's going
to
go AWOL.
Right. So finally, he has enough. And he he tries to go AWOL, and Harold Ramis,
actually we should mention this. Warren Oates, who plays the drill sergeant,
who's awesome,
who's fucking awesome. Warren Oates was an old school like Western star. He was in Wild Bunch.
Yeah, a lot of old like Western TV show Rawhide and all that shit.
Yeah, he only lived like a year after this movie. He died like in 82.
Yeah,
he's fucking great in it. You might remember him as Muff Potter in a Tom Sawyer movie.
Fucking best name,
Muff. His first name is Muff. First name is Muff.
I'm naming my child Muff Potter.
Yeah, Muff Potter.
Doesn't even matter. That's not my last name.
That's going to be your son's question to God.
Yeah.
Why name me Muff Potter? And he's going to be like, well, he was watching Stripes, and then he looked up fucking Warren Oates and saw that Warren Oates played out the character named Muff Potter in a movie. And there you go.
Also, strangely played Rooster Cogburn, you know, John Wayne's character,
yeah,
in a made-for-TV sequel to fucking True Grit.
Yeah, it was called like True Grit Adventure Continues or some stupid shit like that. Yeah. Because he did True Grit, and then he did Rooster Cogburn.
Right, yeah, exactly. There was two movies that John Wayne played the character. Yeah,
and then he played him in a fucking TV movie.
Yeah.
Again, not Muff Potter level.
No. I mean, Rooster Cogburn is Rooster a pretty is dope a name. Fucking... Although that's not his real. Like, I think he has a different.
It's
first
like a moniker,
name. Like it's
right?
A, yeah. Well, yeah. It's like a nickname. Yeah.
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 So Rooster is still a really fucking cool name.
No, that's a really cool name. Yeah.
How do you get the name Rooster?
I mean,
waking
also,
up early in the morning,
or just being a giant dick.
Yeah, being a cock.
Yeah, exactly. That's. I should have said that. It would have made more sense.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Dicks are not roosters.
Cocks are roosters.
Yeah. But that is a great fucking name, though. Those are Warren Oates has played some cool name motherfuckers.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
What we should say.
Including this one where he's lieutenant, or I'm sorry, drill sergeant Hulka.
Yeah, Hulka.
Cool, which is just Hulk. The fucking Hulk with an A at the end.
Yeah, exactly. This is before Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Green Hulk at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It would just been the Green Hulk.
And they have a scene where Bill Murray is like, fuck you, man. Like, it actually gets kind of serious. Like, Bill Murray is like,
yeah,
you can kick me out. You can do whatever. Just get off my fucking back.
They get in an actual physical fight.
Yeah, and he's like, hit me. And he throws a swing at him and he fucking kicks his ass. And that's when Bill Murray's like, I'm out. Like, yeah. I'm leaving. He tries to leave. Harold Ramis, rightfully so, stops him. And it is like, you don't get to leave. You know why? Because you talked me into joining the fucking army, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
You dragged me into this and now we're here. And then the girls show up and they're like, well, boys.
What do we have here?
What do we got? What's going on here? And they obviously want to fuck them, so they hook them up. They're like, we're going to take you back.
Yeah, so they just drop them back off. And then you have the scene where... So the other person we have not mentioned yet is John Lasseter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, you probably know from Night Court. Are from just various movie roles.
Was that Madhouse? Remember Madhouse?
No.
I'm pretty sure that was John Lasseter.
Probably.
It's just a bunch of people that he doesn't want to come over to his house.
So it's Mother?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. It's actually, it's more like just the Cousin Eddie part of National Lampoon's. Yeah, it's all these like stupid, like random weird family that keeps showing up to his house. And then it just becomes a madhouse.
Ah.
There's a cat that keeps dying and coming back. I remember that part.
But you know what's not a madhouse?
Our sponsors?
Worst transition.
We did it again. we should start a pool on like what the transition is going to be like
for
the sponsors.
Yeah, we should. That'll be our new Facebook quiz, poll.
Yes, people will totally be a part of that. They'll answer
yeah,
that.
They'll answer that.
It will not
just be us answering 20 times each.
We will not put it up and then take it down a day later because nobody fucking reacted
to
it.
No.
And just in out of
follow
anger.
Us on Facebook, everyone.
Yay. Don't be dicks.
Don't be dicks. So Sponsor number one, People's Choice Video. Yeah. They got this movie.
Yeah, providing the movie. Thank you so much.
Yeah, they got Meatballs. They got Ghostbusters 1 and 2 and the remake.
Yeah. All the Wes Anderson.
Yeah, definitely all the Wes Anderson, Bill Murray stuff.
Yeah. People's Choice Video, you can, it's your local 90s video store. You can rent, you can buy regular movies, games, adults, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Go there.
Yeah. Also, Beer Geek Bakery.
Beer Geek Bakery, offering the best in beer-kissed goodies. That is to say, they are delicious pastries made with craft beer, the very best of craft beer.
Yeah. And the reason that they are our sponsor is because we drink a lot of beer.
Yep.
And it made sense.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So follow them on Instagram, on Facebook. I know that during Beer Week, there's a lot of events that she's got going on. So
yeah,
go
find
to them.
Out about all the events and go there. And
if you mention a podcast, yeah, you get 10% off. No, you get $1 off. Yeah, $1 off a treat.
Yep. So what a deal! Put it in your stomach.
Yeah.
Do that. Cut open your stomach with a sharp knife, and then just put a brownie inside.
Stuff brownies in it. That makes sense.
That's how digestion works. That's how you do that without getting calories.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure scientifically
that works. Yeah.
Yeah. Just slice your stomach open
and put that shit right in there.
Just do the old school
seppuku.
Yeah, seppuku. There you go. The Japanese old school
or seppuku.
Seppuku. Seppuku. Yeah. I think it's seppuku. Harakiri.
Yeah, exactly.
Harakiri. Yeah, harakiri.
They have multiple words.
Yeah. Yeah. They would just do that. That's a fucking weird thing.
Yeah.
That they would just be like, nope, I lost. Now I have to cut my stomach open. And everybody's like, yeah, I know. That's the rules.
Although the thing that a lot of people forget, you have to have the guy that also cuts your head off.
Yeah, cuts your head off. Yeah. When you do it. Which is, I mean, like, I feel like that's nice of them.
No, exactly. You're putting your out of your misery. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't just slowly bleed out with your guts in your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get your head cut off as well.
Yeah.
Nice of that guy.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like 40 years of guys bleeding out their guts in their hands.
Like, we got to do something about
before
this.
Or they were like, all right.
This is too much.
I'm not liking this anymore.
Exactly.
That last guy took a long time to die.
That was like 3 hours, man. I got shit to do.
Yeah. If we can get a guy to cut his head off, and then they're like,
we move this shit along.
Yeah, we go past this.
60
this,
seconds.
Exactly. This is over in seconds instead of just fucking 3 hours of a guy dying.
He slices his stomach. All right, cool. You did your thing. Slice, head off. Done.
Yeah, let's move on. Come on. Just push him into the ditch and then let's keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old timey stuff was weird.
Yes.
Really, in any country.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
But so, where were we on this?
Oh. All right, so the John Lasseter, he is, I don't know, he's a weirdo.
He's like the crusty old dean.
He is the crusty old dean, even though he's not very crusty.
No, he's not. He's checking out chicks.
He's checking out. He does, first of all, one of the first times you see him, he's doing the Dark Helmet thing from Spaceballs where he's playing with action figures, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, but he's playing with a tank.
Pretty funny.
And then, yeah, the next time you see him, he's fucking peeping on girls.
So, number one. That's cool because we get boobs
tits.
Again.
Yeah, a lot of tits.
Also, why are these chicks just fucking bathing in like an open window?
Every 80s movie. Yeah. Every 80s movie, girls just bathe with open windows
everywhere.
There was
just open windows everywhere for women's locker rooms.
God damn it, 80s.
Yeah, the 80s were great. They were great for everybody all around, I feel.
Yeah, no one had a bad time in the 80s.
No.
That's my standard. I will.
Sticking to it.
I'm sticking to that.
But yeah, though, so he's checking out chicks. Taking a shower and stuff. Yeah. And then they tell him like, oh.
Well, because his commanding officer shows up and is like, I got this big project coming up. I'm going to need one of like your top fucking unit to be part of this project.
He's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Well, figure it. Meanwhile, the guys, they go on leave for a little bit.
Right. So they get a day, like they get a weekend off. Their commanding officer has been hurt because John Larroquette just had people randomly firing fucking grenades and shit.
I think like this is the first time we called him John Larroquette. I think we call him John Lasseter.
That is the guy from Pixar. Did we actually
Call him John Lasseter? We've been calling him John Lasseter before.
I am sorry, people. We have been drinking.
Yeah, John Larroquette. That's what we get for being so fucking drunk.
John Lasseter is the guy from Pixar who is now the head of Disney Animation.
Yeah.
I think he's still the head, right? I know there was some...
I think so, yeah.
He touched some chick's like thigh or something.
Yeah, he's not going to be the head for long, but John Larroquette is who we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. John Larroquette is who we're talking about in Night Court.
Yeah. We're not stupid. We're just drunk.
We're just drunk. Exactly. So, yeah, he has people fire off missile or fucking grenades.
Mortars, right?
Mortar. Yeah, exactly. Mortar rounds for no fucking reason. He ends up accidentally, like,
seriously injuring.
Almost killing Hulk their fucking sergeant. So he's out of commission. So they take that opportunity, obviously, to go fuck around.
Yeah, we're going to leave now. And
so they go to a titty bar.
Yeah. Clearly, you go to a titty bar, but it's 1981.
Yeah.
And your soldiers, that's a whole point. That's a whole reason that Bill Murray joined up.
Exactly.
Because he's like, we get laid if we fucking uniforms.
We got the uniforms. Even though they're not wearing their uniforms.
They're not wearing which is weird.
Yeah.
Because every time I see soldiers on leave, they're wearing the uniform.
Right.
But they go to a titty bar. And then this is, I think, the mud most memorable wrestling. Scenes from this movie.
Mud wrestling.
Yes, the mud wrestling
John scene. Candy mud wrestling chicks in bikinis.
Bill Murray talks John Candy into paying $450.
And like 57 cents.
Yeah, to mud wrestle some bitches.
So yeah, so they go into this titty bar and there's just boobs out everywhere again.
Thank you, 1980s.
They artfully cut around this in the TV edit, which
yeah, because
we were marveling at about, yeah. because... Like, there's a lot of boobs in this scene, and somehow this scene is on TV.
Because I remember watching it as a kid.
I absolutely remember watching it as a kid.
And somehow, thanks to the power of editing.
Good editor on this one.
Yeah, cut out all the boobs. Which is crazy. Although I feel like this scene in the movie is probably like 7-8 minutes long.
And
maybe?
It's probably like 5 minutes in the TV edit.
Oh, probably like 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So there's girls mud wrestling, and... For some reason, like Dave Thomas is actually the
he's like the MC.
The MC, exactly. Yeah. And they're like raffling off, I guess, a chance to wrestle the ladies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you win the money back or do you win a pot or do you just wrestle ladies? It's unclear.
Also, I feel like it's like you wouldn't do that. You would just be like, who wants to wrestle the ladies and just pick a dude.
Yeah.
And then because it's just kind of like good fun. Yeah. No, they got to pay.
I gotta pay. You're running a business here. This isn't a fucking charity, Francisco.
It's true. There's tits out, man. Yeah. People gotta win some money. So they Bill Murray talks John Candy into putting all his fucking money in.
Yep.
He goes in there and he mud wrestles three ladies.
Yep.
Then
they play dirty.
They play dirty. He plays a little dirty too because Bill Murray treats it like a real fight, which is weird.
It is funny.
Because really, John Candy should have just gone in and grabbed tits. Like, he should have just gone in and grabbed tits and ass and shit. And that's the whole point of it.
Of course.
And Bill Murray talks him into treating it like a real fight.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't know if I ever told this story before. One time, my senior year in high school, at one of the after parties for a play that I was in, we went over to my house and we're like, some people wanted to play football, like two hand touch. Yeah. And they were like, let's play girls versus guys, right? And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
And on one play, the girls flashed us.
Yeah.
And then somebody actually stopped them from scoring. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. Like, encourage that behavior. Like, if they're going to flash us, they can have a touchdown.
You stupid asshole.
Like, let them score.
Yeah. Because
the whole point of this whole night is to see boobs. From these fucking theater chicks. So do not. What are you doing?
Yeah, thing where you're just like the Alec Baldwin and the Departed thing where you're like, hey, let me talk to you for a second over here. And then he just starts kicking his ass.
Exactly.
What the fuck are you thinking, you idiot?
I just took him into the fucking kitchen and showed him the Joker pencil trick.
Yeah, exactly. Done. Out. Now you're not. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You don't get to play anymore because you sacrifice boobs for your stupid score,
exactly.
Which means nothing.
Which means nothing.
We're here for boobs, goddammit.
Exactly. It's midnight. We just got finished doing a play.
Our entire life is just made for wanting to see boobs.
I'm 17 years old. All I want to do is see tits.
You really fucked us on this one.
Yeah,
Brad. I'm gonna call him Brad.
Fucking Brad.
Yeah, that piece of fucking shit.
He's a real piece of shit. He's probably gay.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, probably.
He's gay and good at football.
He was in theater, so.
I mean, you were too. But.
What are you saying?
That you're gay.
You son of a bitch, I'm going to kick your ass. No, I'm not.
But then, so John Candy fights, and then they take like a break, you know, it's like rounds.
Yeah, it's the Rocky thing where he's like throwing water in his face.
Yeah.
You're a tank.
Yeah, again, don't encourage him to actually fight these women.
No.
But then when he goes back to fight, he's fighting like seven women now.
Exactly. There's all of a sudden, there's all these women. Although John Candy, because he's John Candy and he's the best.
Yeah.
He realizes what's up. He just starts grabbing bras.
Yeah, he
just starts ripping off tops.
He starts hulking out.
He does. He does the Hulk thing. Yeah. The Hulk Hogan thing where he just like powers up and starts power, like, and then just grabbing tops.
So then we all benefit from that.
Which again, it's not okay these days. Not okay these days.
No, you do not rip off bras. Please, for the love of God.
For the love of God.
Yeah, this is not an okay thing to do.
Your career will be over.
You're not John Candy.
No.
And it's not 1981.
It's not 1981. So don't do exactly.
That. And then for no reason, the cops break it up.
Yeah.
No reason.
They're in a titty bar. Yeah, right?
No laws are being
broken. There is like a fucking neon sign of a chick outside.
And I'm pretty sure the place is called titty bar. Like, it's just, they're in a fucking titty bar.
Yeah.
And clearly this shit is not in the nightly, but for some reason.
For some reason, this night it just got out of hand.
Yeah. Again, not really, but so the cops show up. So then.
Then the MPs show up. Well, the MPs show up to arrest them all. And then, yeah, the girls show up to save them.
Yeah. They're like, should we? And she's like, yeah. So they go and they handcuff him. And they're like, we got these two. And they take him. And they take him to...
it's the general's house.
Yeah, the general's house. To fuck.
Well, kind of. Like, they... Maybe. So they stop at the general's house. And they're like, all right, well, like, we're letting you guys... You owe us. We're letting you guys go. Like, see you later. And Bill Murray, or one of them, I don't remember which, is like, well, what are you girls going to do? And like, well, we're going to check on the general's house. He's out of town. And Bill Murray obviously is like,
yeah, exactly.
Runs into the house. It becomes,
fuck town. They head to fuck town.
They head to fuck town. They head to the bone zone.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah. I can't say more delicately than that.
They're very charming, though. And both of them are very charming. Bill Murray does the whole Aunt Jemima bit, which evidently he improvs.
Yeah, he improvs a lot of that. It's just like,
and then they
like getting a spatula and like getting her ass with it. I don't know if that's
sexy, but yeah, you know, I mean, because he's just like putting it under her. Or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, oh no, because he puts her on the stove, and but then he gets the ice cream scooper, and then you don't see what he's ice cream scooping, which is actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Because she's just like, like bouncing up.
And they fuck inside like the, it's like the, that big, I don't even know what it's called because I'm not fancy, but that
big
box, truck
at the foot of the
trunk
bed.
At the foot of the bed. Yeah. And then meanwhile, Sean Young and Harold Ramis play this like don't touching game, which Harold Ramis immediately breaks because, you know.
And she's like, you broke my...
It's like, you win.
Yeah, you win, exactly. And oh, he wins.
What he wins is,
yeah.
I mean, she wins the game. He wins the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, good job, Errol Ramis, pulling in some Sean Young.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so they bang, which is super cool.
But then when they get back to the barracks, things are not okay.
No, they got in trouble.
They got in real trouble.
For getting arrested at the titty bar. And then
they're going to get kicked, or actually they're not even going to get kicked out. They're going to have to repeat basic training, which is if you have been in the military, or if you've ever talked to anyone that was in the military, basic training is fucking awful.
It's fucking hell. Yeah. You sleep like 2 hours a night.
Yeah. It's just the fucking worst.
Yeah. So they're like, no, we can't do that. And again, as always, the only way to pass basic training is to do like a march thing.
Yeah, is to be goofballs.
Yeah, you have to like get a march done right and then like do this coordinated rifle thing, and they can't get it right. So Harold Ramis shows up post getting laid.
And just all swagger.
Yeah, so he's like, fuck it, what's going on, we're gonna
guys?
We're going
to cram for this shit. We got this.
We got 3 hours, let's fucking do it.
Things don't go so well, so the Bill Murray makes the Bill Murray speech.
Yeah, he has to step
Murray's
in.
Want to do.
Has to step in and do the
a great speech.
Yeah.
You know, we're Americans. That means our forefathers were kicked out of every decent country.
Yeah, we've been fighting this shit for 200 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're 10-1.
Yeah, yeah. And they all gather. They all like rally.
Yeah.
And then they oversleep.
Right.
Which.
So then they have to run. Like they're about to get like they're about to get arrested.
Yeah. It's it. They're no shows.
Yeah.
Everybody else is there. And Larroquette is like, where the fuck are they? And they're like...
Then they come. They realize they overslept. They run in. They're not even dressed right.
No, they're in t-shirts and shit.
Yeah. They're not in their like full dress uniform, which is what they're supposed to be in. They do this kind of
very disrespectful...
Like song-based routine.
Obviously not a military thing. Yeah, it's all Bill Murray.
Exactly.
Being
Bill
a
Murray the whole
ass.
Time. Exactly. Just doing his smart ass like Bill Murray shit.
Yeah.
But the general is like, I like these kids. They got a lot of gumption, these kids. Yeah.
Because that's how the military works.
Yeah, exactly.
The more different you are in the military, the better it is for you. The better it is for you.
If I know anything about the military is they like people that aren't following directions or orders. Exactly. And just doing their own thing.
Because everybody is like, oh my God, what are they doing? And then the general is like, no, I like the gumption in these kids. This is what we need more of.
A chutzpah.
We need more of these guys not following directions is what we need.
That general's just like, I was just like you, Bill Murray, when I was 20.
When I was 28?
Question mark?
So he gives it to this ragtag. He's like, all right, these are the guys that are going to
Get this new special thing. Then
they got to go to Italy.
The entire movie has been about these slackers becoming soldiers. Now it suddenly becomes about this secret mission
in Italy.
So they show up to this brand new urban assault vehicle,
which looks like a cool Winnebago.
It's just a fucking Winnebago.
Yeah, it's a very cool Winnebago.
Yeah.
Also, I like the idea that they're like, these fucking kids, like, Bill Murray's just doing whatever the fuck he wants and he doesn't care, and he did this stupid song and dance shit. It's not the military. He doesn't care. So let's give him the most expensive fucking...
Yeah.
Because he's going to care about that.
Of course.
Clearly. So what's the first thing he does? He steals it to go get laid. Which, again, true to the character, that's all he wanted. He said that from the very beginning. He just wanted to get laid.
As soon as his girlfriend left, he needed new avenues.
Yeah, he's like, girls are in Germany. Yeah. Let's take the truck and then go to Germany.
Yeah. So they go to Germany. They've stolen this top secret.
This is highly treason.
This is treasonous.
This is very treason. And they just take it.
Yeah, they just take it.
You don't have to. You can just take a Jeep.
And exactly. You don't have to take the incredibly expensive,
brand new, untested, urban assault.
No, there are plenty of Jeeps.
Yeah,
But no, they take the.
Fuck, you could take a train. Like it's Europe.
You could just go.
Yeah.
Although I do like the excuse they give the guy, which is they're just taking it to get him washed.
Yeah. They're like, we're gonna get it washed. They had the right paperwork.
Meanwhile, John Larroquette,
he's trying to get laid too,
but he's like, he doesn't want to tell anyone else in the military because he feels like it'll make him look bad. So instead, secret mission, they follow them because they're convinced they're Russian spies. They're going to go deliver this Winnebago to the Russians.
Yeah.
They end up following them. They make a wrong turn into Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, because that's the closest Russian control area. So they go to Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, exactly. And so they get captured. Meanwhile, every time everything bad is happening to the rest of the team, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray are getting laid.
Which you think makes the team kind of hate them.
But no.
No, they're really
so
love
lovable.
Them.
They're so lovable. Yeah. You can't stay mad at them. You just can't.
Yeah, every time. Every fucking time. So they're getting laid. And they're really like, all this shit is happening. They get captured.
Right. Sergeant Holka managed to avoid capture.
He knew. He knew, fuck this bullshit. And he runs out and he jumps out of the car.
So he's calling for help. They pick up the distress call.
Post getting laid. It's like in the morning and it's like a resort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, doing jokes the whole time that they're leaving.
Yeah.
So they decide to answer. They're like, well, this is kind of our fault. I mean, it's totally their
fault. It's definitely their
fault. It's definitely 100% their fault.
High treason.
Yeah. Like, let's just commit some mild acts of war, break into this foreign country and start shooting people.
You know what this Cold War needs?
Yeah.
American soldiers.
Although in fairness, and this is a thing that'll come back later, is no one, like, this whole story would get buried because the Russians aren't going to want to admit that they took a bunch of Americans hostage captive or whatever. But also, America's not going to want to admit that it sent, like, a fucking top secret thing into, like, Russian-controlled fucking country to blow people up and, like, blow up tanks and shit.
That is true. They would just cover it up.
It would just bury it. Yeah, it would just get buried.
So, Harold Ramis and Bill Murray get a signal, and they're post-fucking, so they're not even thinking about sex anymore. So, they're like, let's help these guys out.
Right. So they
also, it is our fucking fault.
Yeah, that they are clearly our fault. We have betrayed our country.
And there's a cut in this movie.
How good would the sex have to be for you to betray your country?
High treason again. Betray your whole fucking country. You're looking at like Execution.
Yeah. You could literally yeah, be executed for this. For treason. Yes.
There's a cut in this movie where they, like, they bring the guy in and he is beat up. Like, they're torturing
them. Yeah, they're torturing people while
and it cuts from that to Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, like, yeah, leaving the resort and being, like...
Post-fucking
post-fucking, exactly. With the girls and, like, having a good time and shit.
They're having a great time. They're in Germany. Yeah, fucking.
So then they decide, like, let's go save these guys that we put in here. Right.
So they bust into Czechoslovakia. That's when you find out this Winnebago, legit war weapon. It's a
badass, yeah.
It's got armor that comes down over all the windows. Has like a
rocket launcher.
It has that like telescope that you can see through to drive.
Yeah, there's a flamethrower.
It has a fucking cannon in the back.
Yeah, it's fucking rad.
Yeah.
Also, they do. They grab those two security guards. Border guys.
Yeah, there's a running gag with these two security guards.
Can't catch a break.
Cannot catch a break.
Yeah, they tie them up and stuff, and that's how they get in.
Yeah.
But they go in there and they start wrecking shit.
Yes. And eventually they break out their friends.
Yeah. Warren Oates also on the loose, and he's helping them out, too.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're going to blow them up, but now he goes and he takes a soldier out.
Because he's a fucking badass.
Yeah. They don't show it, but I assume that they killed like a lot of people. There was a lot of soldiers killed in this hilarious romp.
Oh, yeah. No, they blow up a tank, a tower. They fucking use a flamethrower on like 10 dudes. Yeah. Those dudes are not okay after that.
Yeah, they're still wisecracking.
It's a
flamethrower. Yeah. It's not like... It's not like a
super soaker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You put a flamethrower on 10 human lives.
Yeah. He's like, Harold Ramis, help us out on this. And he just turns on the flamethrower.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is helping them out, but...
Oh, for sure.
Still killing soldiers.
Look, they're dirty commie bastards, so who cares?
Yeah. And again, I feel like to Warren Oates, it proves the fact that they're Russian spies, because they show up dressed as Russians.
Yeah, they're dressed as Russians. They're bringing the Winnebago.
Yeah.
Or the what it's like the UM-57 or whatever the fuck it is. They're bringing it to the Russian side. So yeah, that totally makes them look guilty. But they break out everybody... They managed to escape.
Oh, we get a John Candy manning up scene.
That's right.
Because the whole thing is that he's like really shy and always gets picked on, and that's why he joined the army.
Well, he also to lose weight.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But he uses his weight to knock the door down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which he could have done the whole time. But
Well, it was only they weakened it with the C4.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Then they escape, they're out. All in the fucking Winnebago.
And they go home, and they're fucking heroes.
Yeah. Warren Oates jumps on the back of it. They go off. They've blown up with their fucking rockets.
It is an insane thing to me that this whole movie that is all just about them being in like basic training and being goofballs and stuff, and then like out of nowhere, the last scene is this big fucking action sequence of them like saving POWs.
Yeah,
it's like fucking Rambo all
shooting
of a sudden.
Shooting down motherfuckers. Yeah, I mean, but you get that too when we're talking about Police Academy. You get a fucking, for no reason, there's a riot in the streets that then they have to fucking deal with.
Yeah, no, Police Academy rips this movie off 100%.
And like, just like in Police Academy,
finish, yeah.
Bill Murray and Harold Ramis learned nothing from basic training.
No, nothing.
Actually, the girls are really good at firing guns and stuff like that because they're MPs.
Because they're actual fucking military.
Military people, yeah. Bill Murray, he uses like his colorful language.
Yeah, he's just blasting randomly.
Yeah, his wisecrackiness to get them out of trouble.
If he hits anybody, it's an accident.
Yeah, there's no way. And the only way, the reason that Harold Ramis is rocking
Bill Murray is the bard of the group. He uses his, his word attacks to hurt people.
Exactly.
So it's all just him singing and using,
And Harold Ramis is like reading the manual. That's the only reason he knows how to fucking
read it. Exactly, because he's a fucking nerd.
Yeah, because he's Harold Ramis.
He's Harold Ramis. That's who you are, Harold Ramis.
Apparently, there was a scene that was shot.
It's like a 10-minute scene,
right? 10-minute scene of them taking LSD and fighting gorillas in fucking Colombia?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? Where would that fit in this movie?
I have no idea.
There is no way that fits in anywhere.
Before this? After this?
Before they go to Italy? No, because they're right out of the basic training when they go to Italy. So is it like, is it like the end? But that's 10 minutes of post-climax shit.
So weird.
Yeah.
But,
It seems like a Cheech and Chong thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Like leftover from Cheech and Chong.
Could be. Or just a really long post-credit sequence.
Mm-hmm. a 10-minute post-credit sequence.
Hey, Marvel's getting there.
Yeah, they're doing.
Marvel's going to be there.
Like four fucking post-credit
sequences. By Avengers 5, it's going to be a fucking 10-minute post-credit scene.
But and I don't know what it's going to lead into. Fucking Captain Marvel or something?
By that point, it's going to be leading into like...
I don't know. Their next wave of whatever the fuck they're doing.
It'll lead into like...
What if it just like didn't have a post-credit? How crazy would that be nowadays? To just be a Marvel movie without a post-credit sequence.
Be pretty crazy.
Be stupid.
Yeah.
God.
Lead into a 3D Man movie. Remember 3D Man?
Everybody remembers 3D Man? What was his power? Being in 3D? Being three-dimensional?
You got it.
With the power of being three-dimensional. Being able to walk forwards and backwards and whatnot.
And side to side and jump up and down. Yeah. All of those things he could do. He's an incredible hero. Solving for crimes. The modern age.
3D man. Yeah. So
a maggot.
Maggot
solo movie. His superpower was having maggots.
For stomachs?
For a stomach. It was just two giant maggots.
That just somehow that was his body.
Power. Yeah.
And they would just fucking take off and like eat it and come back. Like, it's weird.
That's not a superpower, bro.
That's you're a freak. I don't understand what that is, even.
It's like being like the bearded lady. Like, that's not a superpower. Just a lady with a beard.
You are not the strong man. You're not the sword swallower. You just have beard on your face. Yeah. Like, that's all you have.
No. That does not qualify you to save like fucking children from a burning building.
No, exactly. No. Maggot, just big maggots that... wrapped around him. I don't fucking even. That was a weird time for the X-Men.
It was. That was a very weird time for the X-Men. Cecilia Reyes, again, Marrow.
Yeah, Marrow. That's right.
Yeah,
Marrow's cool though.
Marrow was cool. She just grabbed extra bones out of her body.
Threw them
and like hit people with bones, which I guess that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I feel like I'd be more grossed out than anything else. I'd be like, is that your fucking bone? Did you hit me with your goddamn shin bone?
Is that in my leg? Is that what this is?
That is not sanitary. I got to get tested now? Like,
ew, gross.
This is really disgusting.
I feel like you got the herpes. What is it now? 1 in 4 people have the herpes now?
Probably. Right? Like, she's throwing fucking bloody bones everywhere.
That is pretty gross.
That can't be sanitary. That's not good for anybody. That's...
Marrow. I mean, not marrow. No, maggot. That I can get behind. But marrow, though. No, gross. Gross.
Yeah.
Your big maggot stomachs. I'm not on board. I'm on board with the marrow shit.
You're throwing your own bones at me.
Not cool.
No.
Not cool, bro. Not cool.
So, yeah, they're big time American heroes after this.
Yeah, after this. So, again.
John Candy becomes teenage heartthrob. PJ does Penthouse. Not even Playboy. She goes Penthouse.
Yeah, that's so full vagina.
She nasty.
Yeah. That is, you get vagina in
Penthouse. She's nasty, man.
Which is fucking cool, actually. It's cool that they chose her for that, too. I wonder who... Was that, like, Bill Murray's...
Oh, I'm sure.
It was his intake, like, oh, it should be a Penthouse.
Yeah.
And she's like, I guess. I guess I'll do it because you're Bill Murray.
You're so charming and funny and great.
Apparently, Bill Murray and Sean Young, though, fucking hated each other.
Yeah, evidently, because a lot of this, especially with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis, was a lot of improv and stuff. Sean Young not down with that.
Did not like
the improv. Wanted to stick to the lines.
She's also kind of known for being like weird.
Kind of, yeah. Like hard to work chick. With.
Yeah, yeah, and hard to work with and stuff. Yeah, so they all get to be heroes at the end.
Yep.
Despite the fact that, again.
High treason. War crimes.
Acts of war.
Not war crimes, soldiers. But definitely acts of war against someone you're not actually in war with.
Yeah, in the middle of a Cold War.
You killed like 20 Russian soldiers.
Yeah. That is enough for Russia to do some shit about that.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, but nope. They're just like, no, we're heroes now.
Yep.
Now, all of them get to be heroes.
Yep, even they're Warren all Oates heroes.
Except for John Candy. Well, John Candy gets to be a heartthrob.
Yeah.
Not a hero, though. But just a heartthrob. Still good, though.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Again, I feel like that's the best he could have hoped for.
Not a teenager.
Well, no.
He's clearly like 28.
Yeah, probably.
This again, it's one of those movies. It's all supposed to be young guys. None of them are young guys.
That's never. Though. That's just always. Yeah. Although, I mean, in fairness, I feel like Murray and Ramis are supposed to be old. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not supposed to be.
They have a whole thing about him not doing push-ups and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, originally for the Harold Ramis' part was Dennis Quaid was in line for that because he's married to PJ Souls, or he was married to PJ Souls. He did not get the part, obviously, because Bill Murray and Harold Ramis are boys. But Dennis Quaid does show up in the graduation scene. And also, not in the trivia, but in the credits, Bill Paxton. A soldier somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Back-to-back Bill Paxton.
Yeah, that's right. 1981 Bill Paxton. Just not even a recognizable face in this fucking thing.
No, just a man in the crowd.
Because we didn't fucking see him.
Nope.
Yeah, but he's in there. He's credited and shit. And then also for PJ Souls' part, Kim Basinger.
Wanted too much money.
Basinger, yeah. Yeah, too much money because she was kind of a big deal at the time.
Starting to be.
So you don't get to be in it. And so we get recognizable household name, PJ Souls. Of Halloween.
Yeah. Of the other girl. She's always the other girl.
She really is always the other girl, except for in this movie.
Even in this movie. Well,
she's the girl, but the movie's not about the girl.
Exactly. It's such a movie about dudes. Mm-hmm. So it's a great movie. Watch it.
Yeah. Final thoughts. Put it in your ear hole. Really fucking cool.
How would you fix this movie, though?
Oh, yeah.
You were going to fix this movie, what do you do to make this a better film? Let me pitch you this.
Yes.
Instead of joining the military, they join the space military.
Ooh, they go to space war?
Yes. Oh, and it's basically the same movie, but it's a science fiction. And you get some hot alien chicks and stuff like that. Russians, yeah, you get Sean Young with three boobs.
Yeah,
clearly better than three or two.
Yeah,
it's three because there's one more. Yeah,
well, you add one it's more. One boob. More,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And then clearly,
what I would do with three
instead
boobs.
Of the Russians, you get xenomorphs.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true because they were the same thing.
They were indeed the Russians same thing in the
80s. Russians are as evil as the fucking xenomorphs are in aliens.
Yeah, and as an unhuman and undeserving of life.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and as a threat to our humanity.
As much of a threat to our God-given American rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
God, we hated Russians so much.
We hated Russians a whole lot.
So fucking much.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. They're just two big countries.
Yeah.
So you're
which I feel like we missed out on a whole fucking cool thing with like Russian mythology and history.
Yeah.
Because they refused to teach us any of that in school.
No, they were like, no, you cannot.
You don't learn anything about Russia except for evil.
And there's a lot of cool Russian shit with bears and stuff. That
I feel like they didn't even, like, Dr. Zhivago was not a thing we covered in high school. That's a thing I had to read later.
Yeah, just because it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie and a great book, yeah.
Even those big, giant Russian dogs, which I love.
Oh, those are great.
I didn't learn about those till I was a full-grown man. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know there were bear dogs. They have bear dogs. They're like 6 foot tall when they stand up. Like, it's crazy.
They're awesome.
They use them in prisons because it's a bear dog.
Yeah.
But
all I knew about Russia growing up was that they were evil and Siberia was cold.
Yeah, that's all I knew is that they live in fucking snow all the time.
Yep.
And they're evil.
And they'll nuke you.
Yeah, they were here to nuke.
They were here to nuke. They were DTN.
Yeah, they were down to nuke.
Down to nuke.
Russians, DTN.
So, swipe left.
On Russia. On 1980s Russia.
Legitimately, more Judge Reinhold stoner humor probably to like, and yeah. I just like more of the rest of the crew. Like, I feel like if you make this a true ensemble piece,
I do like the idea of casting Eddie Murphy in a fucking part in this.
Yes,
yeah,
Eddie Murphy as Judge Reinhold.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's pretty good.
It's a good call.
He gets a bigger part in it. He becomes more part of the whole thing, I believe.
What about instead of Eddie Murphy, Warwick Davis?
Oh, yeah. He's just like a little... It's like a police academy where they're like, anybody can join the army now.
Exactly.
And a champion or little person fucking actor.
What if it's Willow from Willow?
Every other line is just Kaya. Kaya!
And then you get Bill Murray being able to be like, out of my way, Peck.
Yeah, yeah. He calls him Peck a lot.
Which I feel like makes it better.
What do they call him? What do they call humans? Tikis or what the
fuck? Oh, fuck. What is it?
Yeah, yeah. They have a weird fucking name for him.
Yeah.
Which every time that I used to hear it, I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, they're calling
were you
me
offended?
That.
Yeah. We call them pecs.
Yeah. He was a peck. I was like, don't come up with that.
You got me there. He's
yeah, yeah. Don't come up with a name for a nickname for me. You're the weird one. I mean, we are humans. I mean, I'm not. All right, I want to stress this. I'm not saying little people are not human.
Exactly. He's talking specifically about the fictional hobbit-like race in Willow.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Be very clear about that.
But you think Warwick Davis?
I mean, if he's playing either Willow or if he's playing his now I'm suddenly spacing on it for some reason, his Ewok character.
Which one was his Ewok character? He had a name?
Yes, of course he had a fucking name. He's the main fucking Ewok.
Wasn't it just like Ewok number one?
No. I don't know. What the fuck? No.
No, you know who the main Ewok was? C-3PO.
Shut your fucking face.
He becomes like a god to them.
Yeah, he's the god of the Ewoks. He's not an Ewok.
He's the
God's main Ewok. Not a human.
He's the main human.
God is not a... No.
All right. That's
wrong.
True. Wicked. Well, all right. So Warwick Davis as either Willow...
Or Wicket, yes.
Wicket from the Star
either
Wars.
Either one, I feel like that can work. Or even if he's the psycho character. Warwick Davis is the psycho character.
Oh, actually, that's really good.
That'd be really good.
That's actually really funny because he's a little dude.
He's so small.
He's so small awesome. And so great. Because people are like, come on, man. Like, bring it. Like, tone it down.
But I feel like at that point, he's got to stab a dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, he gets to, like, stab up. And yeah, like a kidney right stab.
Or balls.
Or liver.
Always funny.
Always balls. Yeah. Yeah. Always actually funny. Really funny.
Stab me in the balls.
You know, if anything, when I think about this movie, is that it really kind of squanders the secondary characters.
It really does.
Yeah. Even the John Candy character.
Could have been more. Could have been more.
Yeah. You get a lot of them getting laid and not enough. Psycho being psycho. John Candy, you know, being John Candy. I mean, the mud wrestling scene obviously is
obviously. Yeah.
Is the best part of that. But like all the other guys, even the dumb guy.
Although I also feel like alternative ending to the mud wrestling scene, rather than them all getting arrested, is John Candy fucking like 8 women.
Oh, yeah. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Again, fix his movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He just fucks all the women.
Yeah.
And it just cuts to them waking up.
Yeah, exactly. It just cuts to a giant bed with John Candy and 8 hot chicks.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, when Ivan Reitman...
when he was making this movie... Why did he not have John Candy sleep with all 8 of the fucking mud wrestlers?
It seems such an obvious thing to do.
It's like, well, back then, the censors and trying to make this movie for everybody.
To the story, they wanted to bring the girls in, and the only way to bring the girls in because of Emilio Telepri.
Exactly. They wanted to be kind of still romantic and not just about empty sex.
Back to hell I go.
Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum.
I'm like... Other questions to God are just fucking stripes related.
Why a Winnebago?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
Eventually, God's like, come on, man.
Watch another movie.
You've been doing this bit for a long time. That's
what we got, God. We got bits.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I get out of shit. It's just bits.
It's just bits.
I'm not serious shit. I'm not a serious person.
No, I don't do serious.
No, just bits. So now that we've fixed this movie.
We have fixed this movie. This is the end of the podcast.
Yeah. You want to recommend something?
Nope. Robert? No time.
No time to recommend anything. I would say In the Army Now, maybe, but Pauly Shore instead of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Not that good?
No.
David Alan Greer?
I don't know if I ever saw that one.
Yeah, you should. And Andy Dick.
You're not convincing me.
I like Andy Dick.
Okay.
Yeah, watch In the Army Now.
Are you just watched a military movie? Hacksaw Ridge.
I did watch
Hacksaw Ridge. Hilarious fun.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing, I believe.
Exactly. They just go through basic training.
Wisecracking dude.
He's also, like, the sergeant does not like him.
Not one bit.
Not one bit.
Not at all.
Other fucking people in his platoon don't like him very much.
No. Only instead of cracking wise, he is not picking up guns.
Yeah. And he's saving 75
lives. Fucking lives. You see that we were talking about this.
He's a real fucking hero.
And then when I was watching a movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. They show him really saving like 15 soldiers in the movie. And it's a really amazing scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Give me the strength to get one more, God.
He saved like some soldiers. And even when they show like where the soldiers are, I was like, that's like 15 soldiers. And so I feel like it's it's probably, it was a big deal, but it was like 10 or 15 soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end, there was like 75 soldiers. And I was like, what the fuck? That's a lot of fucking people.
He just kept going back?
Yeah. God damn. No wonder there's a movie. No wonder Mel Gibson made a movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No wonder he, yeah, he's a hero.
Also, true to Mel Gibson, pretty religious.
Yeah.
And kind of weird demonizing of the enemy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Although he did save like two Japanese soldiers, they said.
Yeah.
He even like lowered down some Japanese soldiers. Makes him even better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That guy didn't care. He just loved life.
He was not trying to get laid.
Trying to save people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely not trying to get laid.
Which he could have, I guess. Well, no, he has a wife.
He got married or whatever.
He gets married. Anyway, watch Hacksaw Ridge.
That's our recommendations. Hacksaw Ridge and In the Army Now, maybe?
Yeah, In the Army Now. Watch it. Get some 90s nostalgia on you.
Sure. Yeah. Major Pain? I don't know.
Get some Major Pain. Oh, my God. Demon Williams fucking with fat kids and shit.
Yeah, that's great.
It is, it's not great. But yeah, watch that too. So what's next week? All right. Tune in next week for the movie that comes up next week.
So next week, we're talking about Out of Africa.
Really?
We're getting dramatic next week.
Wow. I did not expect that one.
Did not expect that one either.
Expect Out of Africa.
But that's coming up. If you've never seen it, I guess you can watch it in advance or it's just gonna be a fucking laugh
riot.
Yeah, it's a real laugh riot.
There's a lot of yucks in this one.
Oh, don't worry. We'll somehow find a way to talk about boobs and Star Wars and Rocky.
And why God made Out of Africa make more money.
Exactly. Stripes? Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
But until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I am Francisco Landin.
Join us next week and remember to subscribe and like and follow us on social media and iTunes and share.
Tell your friends.
Please tell your friends. Good night and good journey.
We love you. Thank you.